Good morning. Before we get to the Ein Yaakovs, I said we were going to come back to Tshuva Rav Shlomo Kluger about sending a kvittel to the Chassidish Rebbe on Shabbos. He writes in 1832, I will copy here a letter that I wrote to the leaders of the community of Zlotchov, which is in Galicia. He starts out describing his incredible pain at the repeated Chilul Shabbos that took place in your community last Shabbos, where somebody was sick, and a posek in your community permitted a Jew to write a kvittel and to travel 3 parsaos, which is outside the Tchum Shabbos Doraisa, on horses owned by Jews, and to take money. Because when you give a kvittel to a Rebbe, you have to give money as well, called a pidyon. Even if all of that was necessary and permitted on Shabbos, it could have been done by Goyim. Instead, they sent 2 Jews on this mission. So multiple instances of Chol Shabbos. And he says that this tzak is mikulkelet mitchilato ma'od ma'od. From its very beginning, it is extremely messed up.
So the Rebbe accepted the money on
Shabbos? We don't know what happened. We don't know which Rebbe it was, and we don't know what happened. He doesn't say in the tshuva. I heard once that it was the first Belzer Rebbe, and that he did not accept it, but I don't know where that's written. I don't know what the source of that is. I don't know. After din ze pashut pikuach nefesh tochei Shabbat, even though it is obvious that pikuach nefesh supersedes Shabbos, saving a life supersedes Shabbos, ach lo hutar rak b'refuah shuberech hateva, was only permitted through natural cures. Ve'af b'zeh sheyeh mumche yadua baduk m'nuseh, and furthermore, it has to be a cure that has been tested. I wonder what he would say about experimental. Somebody's, God forbid, an NIH and is having experimental therapy or surgery on Shabbos. I don't know what he would say about that. Aval b'derech nisi, but to try to bring about a miracle, utfilah, as well as tfilah, lo hutar b'shum ofen, is not permitted. I think he means to transgress Shabbos, to get someone to daven, which is what they did here, by sending kvittel to Rebbe, as we'll see, and as we know from the language of the Mishberech Rechole, even davening, even without other Chilul Shabbos, davening for a chole on Shabbos is itself problematic. We'll come back to that in a minute. Vafilu imyeh hamitpelel k'Rechnina ben Dosa, even if the person davening is like the Tana, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who as soon as he davened, he could tell you if the person was going to get better or not. Loni tan shabbat lidchot avur zeafil machad rabbanan. You could not transgress Shabbos even with a malacha drabbanan, kolshkein doraita, and certainly a doraisa. He discusses the Gemaras about a city and the Rambam about a city that's under attack on Shabbos and what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And he says, the reason we're not mechallel Shabbos to bring about tefillah is because we're not so sure that tefillah is going to work. It's true, you pointed out yesterday, medicine doesn't always work either. But the medicine is, and the procedures, the medical procedures, they're tested. Al piteva, we have some expectation of their working, whereas something that's not natural, and including tefillah, we have no reason in particular to expect it to work.
The medicine of the doctor is just earthly. Their opinions that even relying on that, the real cure is Hashem.
No, those aren't opinions. That's the truth.
All right. So to say that
don't mix halacha and religion. No, that's really what he's telling you. That's essentially what he's telling you. You know, don't the person who permitted it, who was very obviously Hasidish, and I do not mean to disparage Hasidim by this because I am one, but the really that's the question. Where's the line between halacha and, so to speak, religion? Because halacha is a set of rules that we follow. It's not about how we feel. It's a rule set of rules that we follow. That's what he's saying.
Uger on the anti-Hasidic side?
No, he was not anti-Hasidic. He was neutral. He lived in an area that was very densely populated with Hasidim. He himself was neutral. He says that Chazal say one may not rely on a miracle, and the reason, this is interesting chiddush, the reason you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos for a sick person is in order not to rely on a miracle. So if you would be mechallel Shabbos seeking a miracle, like a Rebbe, you know, davening and making everything better, it would defeat the whole reason of why you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos, which is to avoid relying on a miracle. Because we say in Mishberech for Chole, Shabbat hi milizog, it's Shabbos, and we do not cry out on Shabbos. Why? Urufua krova lavo, because healing will come soon anyway. The merit of Shabbos has the power, obviously there are other factors, but the merit of Shabbos has the power to bring about a miracle. If we're already going to rely on a miracle, just rely on the miracle that comes from keeping Shabbos. How could you be mechallel Shabbos to seek another miracle? He then brings from the Tosos Yom Tov on the Mishnah that says that if somebody is bitten by a rabid dog, apparently it was believed to be a cure for rabies to eat the dog's liver. Dog's liver is not kosher. So the Mishnah says that it is usur to feed someone the liver of a rabid dog to cure him of rabies. And Tosfos Yom Tov quotes the Rambam. From the Rambam's explanation, it emerges exactly this idea that you are not allowed to violate halacha, not only Shabbos, you're not allowed to violate halacha to bring about an unnatural cure. If we could medically understand why eating the liver of a rabid dog cures rabies, it would be permitted to eat it. But because we don't understand it, it's more of a bubba misa in the literal sense. It's something my grandmother said. This is what we do. We eat the liver of a rabid dog to cure rabies, therefore it's aser, because we don't understand at all why it should be.
If it's a marmukas, I'm like the expert doctor, whether it's a cure or scientifically.
Consult your local Orthodox rabbi. If it were an FDA-approved treatment, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. If there are two cures, and one is slightly more effective, but it's not kosher, and one's a little less effective, and it is kosher, that's what we have rabbis for. He's talking about something that has no explanation whatsoever for why it would work. And that was, incidentally, in Shelos Tshuvos Eitz Chaim Tshuva Kufpei. The Tzitz Eliezer, who was the late 20th century posek, he was the rabbi of Shari Tzedek Hospital, among other jobs, and one of the leading poskim on medical issues in the late 20th century, or the second half of the 20th century, brings this in Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Chet, Siman Tedvav, chapter 8. He says that there is room to say that there's machlokas and poskim, whether Shabbos could be violated for what he calls segulas. It's not a segula the way people commonly use the word. The word segula really means anything that we don't understand is a segula. So this sending a kvittel to a Rebbe to daven for you is, in a sense, a segula. And eating the liver of the dog is a segula because we don't understand it. So he says there is room to say that there's an argument in Rishonim about transgressing Shabbos for non-natural cures, Nevertheless, in our day, we don't see that these things work. We don't have experience. Somebody asked yesterday, were there astrologers in the 1300s? And I said, yes, and there were witches in the 1300s too. Today, we don't have real witches and real astrologers, and we likewise do not have the ability to make things like eating a liver of a rabid dog work. So he says, as far as we're concerned, Shlomo Kluger is the final posek. Who's going to dare argue with him? And today, we certainly cannot do any of these things. That's the psak of Tzitz Eliezer. I'm not saying there couldn't find someone who would argue. I don't know. Now, back in Ein Yaakov, on page Kuf Mem Zayin, Kadchazye Yishbi Vinov, when Yishbi Vinov saw Avishai coming to David's rescue, Amar, he said, Hashtahavu Beit Trein V'Katli Lei. Now there are two of them. They will kill me. Patke le David le Eli. So he threw David up and Datsle Rumche and stuck his spear in the ground. Amar Napol Alev Niktil. Said he will fall on it. What goes up must come down. He will fall on the spear and be killed. Bornstein, the Shuri Zosliakov, points out Mida Keneged Mida of this. Amar says that David was being held accountable for the city of Nov being killed, and for Doeg being driven out of Olam Haba, and for the death of Shaul and his three sons. How did Shaul die? He fell on his sword, probably the origin of the expression, to fall on your sword. He asked his arms bearer to kill him. He saw he was about to be captured by the Plishtim, and he knew he would be tortured, and he knew it would be a humiliation for the Jewish people if he was captured. So he asked his arms bearer to kill him, and his arms bearer refused. So Shaul stuck his sword in the ground and fell off his horse onto his sword. So it would be exactly Mida Keneged Mida if David HaMelech fell on spear. That is what was happening here, according to the Shiurei Zosliakov. So Gemara continues. Amar Avishai Shem, Ukme le David ben Shmaya le Ara. Avishai said a Shem Hashem and left David suspended between heaven and earth. We're asked, Venemalei Ihu, why didn't David himself say a shame and suspend himself in midair? Ein chavush motzi atzmo mibet hasurim. A prisoner cannot get himself out of jail. Rashi says, the first Rashi on page Kuf Mem Ches. Ein chavush matir atzmo, ein dato mechuvenet alav lomar hashem. The person in trouble, like David was, cannot concentrate to say the Shem Hashem. Very practical reason why he cannot get himself out of jail, because he doesn't have the presence of mind to get himself out of jail.
I mean, I understand why it's challenging when you're being thrown up in the air, but
it's an expression.
While you're in jail.
It's an expression. It appears one other place in Shas, and also not in the context of a jail. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Heyamud Beis, says, Rabbi Chir bar Abba chalash. Rabbi Chir bar Abba was sick. Al lagabei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. Amar le chavivim alecha yisirin. He said, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chir bar Abba, do you appreciate the suffering that you're having? The context of the Gemara there is about appreciating suffering. He said, do you appreciate the suffering you're having? Amar le lo. And Rabbi Chir bar Abba said, no. Lo hein vos charan. I don't want them or their reward. Amrle havli yadach. So Rabbi Yochanan said, give me your hand. Yahavle yadev ukme. He took his hand and he lifted him up. Rabbi Yochanan chalash. Then Rabbi Yochanan was sick. Allah gave Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina went to visit him. Amrle chavivin alecha yisirin. Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Yochanan, do you appreciate the suffering? Amrle lohein vos charan. Rabbi Yochanan said, not them and not their reward. Amrle havli yadach. He said, give me your hand. Yaiv la yadei v'ukme. He took his hand and he lifted him up. So Gemara asks, Amai lukim Rabbi Yochanan l'nafshei. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan pick himself up? We just saw in the previous story that Rabbi Yochanan could pick Rabbi Chiya bar Abba up out of his sick bed and cure and make him better. So why didn't he make himself better? Amri, they say, ein chavush matir atzmo beit hasurim. A prisoner cannot get himself out of prison. So Be'er Sheva asks, Rashi says, Yanar Gemara, that David could not save himself because he couldn't concentrate. The Kashelia Perusha is difficult. This explanation is difficult because in the Gemara in Brachos it says that Rabbi Yochanan was sick, and the story we just read, and Rabbi Yochanan could not get himself up because Ein Chavush Mutziyetzma Mi Beit Asrim. There, he says, it's impossible to say that he couldn't concentrate. There's really no evidence there. He was just lying in bed. He was able to have a conversation and say, Lo Hein V'lo Scharan. Why couldn't he concentrate to do whatever he did to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and get him up? So therefore, he rejects Rashi's explanation. And he says, rather, the reason that Ein Chavush Motzi Atzmo B'Beis Sirim, that a person, so to speak, cannot get himself out of prison, is because if a person is sick in bed, or if a person is up in the air about to fall on a sword, it's a sign that Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, is aroused against that person at the moment. And therefore, he doesn't have the spiritual power to rescue himself because he needs someone else to come. He needs the merit of another person to overcome the attribute of justice which is out to get him at that moment. That is how the Be'er Sheva explains the Gemara both here and in Brachos. Yad David cites the Be'er Sheva's question, and he says, I don't understand the question. Many times we find expressions that mean different things in different contexts. So maybe Rashi's telling us that here David could not save himself because he couldn't concentrate. And in Brachos, the same expression, Ein Chavush Motzi Atzmo Mibeit Asrim, means something else. Why do they have to mean the same thing in the same place? Very practical answer Yad David gives. The Chida also cites the Be'er Sheva's question, and he says that the Be'er Sheva's presumption that Rashi's explanation here wouldn't work in Brachos is incorrect, because how did Rabbi Yochanan get Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba out of bed, and how did Rabbi Chanina get Rabbi Yochanan out of bed? It was through concentrating on a name of Hashem. Exactly the same thing that Avishai did here. He uttered a name of Hashem and suspended David HaMelech in midair. Exactly the same thing, as according to Arizal, is what they did in Brachos to miraculously cure the person who was in bed. They used a name of Hashem. And so the same level of concentration that would be required in here in Masechet Sanhedrin is what would be required there in Masechet Brachos. And therefore, the Be'er Sheva's assumption that the cases are different is not a valid assumption. Yitzi asked a question 2 days ago, which is also discussed, as I mentioned then, comes from when Yishmael was and Hagar were sent away, and Yishmael was dying of thirst. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Elokim et kol hanar." Well, the pasuk before says that Hagar sat far away and cried, and the pasuk says, "Vayishma Elokim et kol hanar." Hashem heard the voice of the lad. Hagar was also crying. Why did Hashem hear the voice of the lad of Yishmael? Rashi says, "Mikan." From here we learn, "Sheyafet tefilat hachole mitfilat achirim." That the davening of the sick person is better than the davening of other people who are davening for him. And it is accepted before the davening of other people. And that seems to contradict the principle that we've been talking about, that Ein Chavush Motzias Mami Beit HaSarim. Mizrahi asked this question. Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, one of the major commentaries on Rashi, he says, but we learned in the first parak of Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan could not get himself up because a prisoner cannot get himself out of prison. He answers, same thing that Chidah just said, must be that Rabbi Yochanan couldn't concentrate in that situation, and so he couldn't get himself out. In other words, if the chola is able to concentrate on davening, his own davening is better than the davening of other people. But frequently, the sick person cannot concentrate. And that's when we say, because he can't concentrate, like Rashi says in our Gemara, it's interesting, Mizrahi doesn't bring the Rashi in our Gemara, but he could have, because he can't concentrate, therefore he can't get himself out. That's how the Mizrahi answers. Maral says, Mizrahi's question is not a question. There's no contradiction between saying that the tefillah of the chole is better than the tefillah of other people and saying that a person cannot get himself out of prison. Because there are two separate concepts. One is tefillah, davening. The other is action. If any action is involved, then the prisoner is going to need help, so to speak. The sick person or the person who's flying through the air, like David Melch, is going to need help. Tefillah plays a certain role, and the tefillah of a chole is better than the tefillah of other people. But tefillah is not always the entire answer. When there's something necessary besides tefillah, then the person who's in trouble is going to need help. That's the Maral's answer. And lastly, the Chida himself says the tefillah of a chole is better because he's more heartbroken when it comes to davening than someone else is. He doesn't say the other side, but probably he's saying the same thing that the Mizrahi said, that the tefillah of the chole is better, except that if he can't concentrate, then it's not going to work. The Chasam Sofer brings interesting application of this concept, which actually is closer to the literal language of a prisoner cannot get himself out of jail. In the Drashos Chasam Sofer, in the new editions, it's on volume 5, page Yud Gimel, he says that about 60 years ago, this is from 1809, so 60 years ago would be 1749, the city of Prague was besieged by an enemy army, and the Gaon Yechezkel Zichrono Livracha, that is the Noda Yehuda, the rabbi of Prague, wanted to leave the city and daven from the outside. And the elders of the city would not let him leave because they believed that having him in the city would protect them. Another time, he says, the city of Mainz was under siege, and their rabbi was someone by name of Rav Chaim Hirsch, which the footnotes say is Rav Noach Chaim Tzvi, the author of various Sfarim. And they did send their rabbi out of the city when it was under siege. They managed to get him out. And similarly, in the city of Koblenz, they sent out their rabbi Rav Ziskin Gundrish, Rav Chaim Leib Ziskin. They sent him out of the city so he could daven from the outside, and they found an allusion in the pasuk, where the Chasam Sofer is saying his allusion to this in the pasuk. By he being soa ha'aron, when the aron, the Sefer Torah, travels, then the pasuk says, "Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu evecha, arise Hashem, and your enemies will be dispersed." So it's a drush on the pasuk. The Chasam Sofer says that there's really a source for this in the Gemara. This is an application of Ein Chavush Matir Atzmo Beit Asarim, that the rabbi can pray more effectively for the city if the rabbi can first escape from the city and daven from the outside. That is, so Chasam Sofer seems to side with those who said the rabbi should be allowed to escape and daven from the outside. We know, unfortunately, from the Holocaust, many Gedolim chose to, so to speak, go down with the ship and not leave their congregations or their yeshivos. And obviously, it could have a demoralizing effect, and so that's a consideration. But in terms of the power of tefillah, of their tefillah, the Chasam Sofer seems to side with the viewpoint that they'd be better off with their rabbi on the outside davening for them than with their rabbi stuck in the siege with them. Interesting application and of the literal language of prisoner getting himself out of prison. Have a good day.